听力课堂，听 class.com。
口语补充练习。第一天，汉英口语。
Listen to the tape and interpret the following passage from Chinese into English.
在中华民族艺术百花园中，有一朵璀璨的奇葩，它以神秘的变幻和实在的功夫，经历了千百年的历史演变，而逐步形成了今天的海派艺术风格。这就是上海的魔术与杂技。上海滩曾经有过闻名遐迩的汇冲魔术团、红色杂技团和江南杂技团。1959年，三团合并为一，取名为上海魔技团，后改称上海魔术团。40年过去了，上海魔术团继承和发扬了民间艺术的优良传统，逐步发展成为艺术力量雄厚、综合能力完善的专业表演团体。1991年，在改革开放的浪潮中，为适应国内外演出市场的需要，上海魔术团组建了分团新上海马戏团。近年来，新上海马戏团创作出一系列优秀的魔术和杂技节目，涌现出一大批年轻的艺术人才，获得了国际、国内和地区性重大比赛的金奖、银奖等。新上海马戏团的足迹遍布美国、加拿大、日本、新加坡、泰国、澳大利亚、新西兰、韩国、土耳其、阿联酋、印度尼西亚、斯里兰卡、比利时、法国、香港和台湾等世界上几十个国家和地区，受到了热情的欢迎。1998年起，新上海马戏团在美国密苏里州布兰森市投资定点商业演出。99年获得了年度最佳表演奖、布兰森和平奖等奖项。1999年4月，新上海马戏团作为新中国第一个艺术团体，应邀赴纽约百老汇演出，并赢得了百老汇最佳国际演出奖，为国家、为上海争得了荣誉。经过10多年的市场策划，我团逐渐形成了一套较好的市场竞争体系。2001年起，我团成功地启动了天天演的营销战略，以海派杂技与魔术专场的演出品牌全面推进市场化操作进程，在上海滩打出了一片天，成了上海旅游演出业的排头兵。
第二篇，英汉口译。
Listen to the tape and interpret the following passage from English into Chinese.
Good evening. Shirley and I are pleased to welcome you to Historic Government House and to host this reception in honor of Canada's Royal Winnipeg Ballet, Manitoba Opera, and Winnipeg Symphony Orchestra. Together, the board members, management and artistic directors, and those who came before you have developed a reputation for ballet, opera, and symphony that goes well beyond Manitoba's borders. Our provincial capital has a long and vibrant history of excellence in the performing arts. Together, your performing companies and their dancers, singers, and musicians have been acclaimed provincially, nationally, and internationally, and have received countless well-deserved honors. Equally important to the far-reaching artistic acclaim is the support your companies receive from an appreciative public. On the other hand, these successes did not just happen by themselves. The volunteers and the professionals in your companies have worked hard over many decades with your artists to create this high level of excellence and enduring success. Founded in 1939, our world-class ballet received its royal title in 1953.And holds the double distinction of being Canada's premier ballet company and the longest continuously operating ballet company in North America. In addition to touring Canada, the RWB has performed around the world. The Opera Association was formed in 1969. It remains a highly successful production and performance company, attracting opera lovers from all over Manitoba, as well as from our neighboring provinces and the Dakotas. Our symphony orchestra was formed in 1948 by the Civic Music League, comprised of 23 separate organizations. Now, in its 53rd season, the WSO has a nucleus of 67 musicians and has earned a place among Canada's major symphony orchestras. Among its many achievements is the highly successful New Music Festival. We are fortunate to have this wealth of talent and dedication in Manitoba. Moreover, the companies support each other's artistic endeavors and performances and, collectively, offer Manitobans a variety of choices that is far greater than many larger centers enjoy. The richness of our artistic scene in Winnipeg surprises many visitors to our city. I still recall an article in the Globe and Mail in 1996 that raised more than a few eyebrows across Canada in reporting the results of a study by a Toronto consulting firm. The study found that, on a per capita basis, Winnipeg has far more performing arts activity than Toronto. It also suggested that there may be no other city of comparable size in North America with as many large arts institutions. It takes hard work, dedication, a passion for what you do, and the combined talents and support of many people, your boards of directors, other volunteers, sponsors, and countless professionals on both sides of the curtain. All of you bring your passion for the performing arts to your organizations, and each of you makes a very special contribution to their success. This reception gives me the opportunity as Lieutenant Governor to commend and thank you for the tremendous contribution you continue to make to the quality of life in Manitoba. Your efforts continue to reshape how we are viewed by others, as well as how we see ourselves. Congratulations to everyone who has worked so hard to make our ballet, opera, and symphony companies in Manitoba such a great success. Please enjoy this reception in your honor. Thank you.
Section 9.
模拟考试
Part 1. Listen to the recorded dialogue and interpret it as required. After you hear a sentence or a short passage in Chinese, interpret it into English by speaking to the microphone. And after you hear an English sentence or a short passage, interpret it into Chinese. You will hear the dialogue only once. Here is the tape script of the dialogue.
请问您是从什么时候开始您的摇滚音乐生涯的
？My musical odyssey began early. My father, a trumpet player, began teaching me when I was 14. My tastes were strictly classical. In 1983, I joined a symphony orchestra in Beijing and stayed there for several years. Things began to change in 1985, though, when the group Wham! Gave a concert in Beijing.A year later, I heard my first Beatles tape. I learned to play an electric guitar. Then I formed a band and made rock my life.
有一段时间我们再没有听到您的声音了。请问您在干什么
？We went underground. We performed at parties, unofficial shows in hotels and restaurants. Things are different now. Rock has become commercialized, and the performers want to make money.Yet there is also a younger scene keeping the spirit alive.
有人说摇滚音乐传输的是一种生活方式，您怎么看
？Rock and roll is about equality. Some Chinese are slaves to Western culture. Others look east. I say to hell with all of them and be yourself. That's what I like about rock and roll. You can talk straight. Part 2.Listen to the recorded passage in English and interpret it as required. After you hear part of the passage, interpret it into Chinese by speaking to the microphone. You will hear the passage only once. Here is the tape script of the English passage.
Elvis Aaron Presley, born in Tupelo, Mississippi in 1935, could well claim to be the 20th century's most famous entertainer.His combination of white country and western music with black rhythm and blues gave the 50s teenage generation music they could identify with. But like so many 20th century idols, Presley was becoming a victim of the fame he had attracted. Under pressure from his domineering manager, Colonel Tom Parker, he embarked on a series of comparatively mediocre films. By the 70s, Presley was reduced to singing tearful ballads in nightclubs in Las Vegas. Presley died in 1977 at his home in Memphis, which had been the center of his musical world for most of his short life. He had been destroyed by drink, drugs, fast food, and fast living. To this day, Presley's home is a shrine to his memory, a measure of the impact he had on his contemporaries. Each year, thousands of sightseers visit the Presley Museum in Tennessee to get a closer view of what it was like to be the undisputed idol of so many people for so many years.
Part 3. Listen to the recorded passage in Chinese and interpret it as required. After you hear part of the passage, interpret it into English by speaking to the microphone. You will hear the passage only once. Here is the tape script of the Chinese passage.
中国中央民族歌舞团成立于1952年，它是目前中国唯一的国家级少数民族艺术表演团体。在其走过的40多年的辉煌历程中，中国中央民族歌舞团荟萃了各民族的歌舞艺术精品，造就了才华横溢、实力雄厚、卓有成效的优秀艺术人才。他为弘扬民族文化艺术，为促进各民族之间的团结进步，为维护边疆的繁荣与稳定做出了突出的贡献。几十年来一直受到国家和政府的高度赞扬和各族人民的喜爱。同时，他作为中国人民的友好使者，把中国人民珍视友谊、热爱和平的心愿传递给了世界五大洲。中国中央民族歌舞团以其鲜明的民族特色和浓郁的艺术风格，在国际上享有很高的声誉，被誉为绚丽的民族歌舞艺术之花。
第十单元，国情报告。
Unit 10 National Reports
Section 4
口译练习听力练习。一，听与复述。
Listen to the tape and repeat what you have heard.
The reform and opening up that started in 1978 have brought about fundamental changes to China. We have, by and large, established a socialist market economy. The GDP has registered an average annual growth rate of 9.4% within the past 25 years, and the Chinese people are living a relatively well-off life on the whole.China's WTO accession is the landmark of the beginning of all-round opening up. More than 400 of the world's top 500 multinationals have opened businesses in China. We are confident in our ability to maintain an economic growth rate of around 7% for a long time to come, reaching a GDP level of over $4 trillion by 2020. In the next 3 years, China plans to importover $1 trillion worth of goods, and its service sector will open still wider to the outside world. The rapidly growing Chinese economy will not only benefit the 1.3 billion Chinese people, but expand the horizon of trade and economic cooperation between China and other countries, creating a huge number of opportunities for Chinese and American businesses. As its consumption structure and industrial structure upgrade,China needs more and more advanced know-how, equipment, and services. The southeast coastal region of China, in particular, is well poised to becoming home to a number of manufacturing hubs. Moreover, while we are pressing ahead with the Western Development Program, the large-scale overhaul of northeast China and other old industrial bases is underway. American business and financial communities are welcome to seize these opportunities.And expand their presence in the Chinese market. We want to see more foreign firms working together with Chinese enterprises.
二，听与跟述。
Listen to the tape and simultaneously follow up with your repeating the passage.
With a population of 31.5 million, and a GDP of 1,150 billion Canadian dollars in 2002, Canada is one of the world's largest economies. A member of APEC and the WTO, Canada enjoys one of the world's highest standards of living. The combination of a highly educated and skilled workforce, excellent infrastructure, low costs, and a benign business environment make Canada an excellent choice for investment and trade opportunities. Canada ranks highly in per capita purchasing power around the world. The level of exports has never been higher due to improvements in cost competitiveness and strong productivity growth. Domestic business confidence is greater today than at any time since 1979. Canadians currently spend close to $500 billion annually on consumer goods and services. Consumer spending has also risen rapidly on items related to information technologies. Average family incomes continue to increase, and growth in disposable income continues as Canada's economy strengthens, labor market conditions improve, and government cuts down on tax rates. Canada presents excellent investment opportunities. Government policies are creating a more favorable climate for domestic and foreign investors. The solid economic system, strong business investment, increasing competitiveness, and integration into the North American market provide the basis for the country's growth potential.
三，听与笔记。
Listen to the tape and take notes while listening.
The new century poses enormous challenges. Within 25 years, over 3 billion people will be added to the global population. Urban populations will treble over the next 30 years. By the year 2020, two-thirds of Africa's population will live in cities. Over the next 30 years, food production will have to double. The World Bank reports that 2 billion people will suffer from water shortages within 30 years. Half the world's population lives on under $2 per day. Who is brave enough to say that our political structures, that the international institutions you own, such as the WTO, the UN, the World Bank, are equipped to serve the people and their governments to meet these challenges? Our parents created an international architecture which included the UN, World Bank, and the GATT, now the WTO, to achieve that peaceful purpose and noble vision. In the main, it's worked, far from perfect, but the world would be a less safe place without them. The WTO is not the GATT. That's why we must change how the WTO operates. So I will be calling member governments for advice to increase transparency and efficiency, to ensure that national governments and their parliaments must have a greater involvement.
口译补充练习。第一天，汉英口译。
Listen to the tape and interpret the following passage from Chinese into English.
同志们，朋友们，今天布达拉宫广场红旗飘扬，雅鲁藏布江纵情歌唱，古城拉萨披上了节日盛装。我们中央代表团的全体成员同西藏各族干部群众一道，怀着无比喜悦的心情，隆重庆祝西藏和平解放50周年。50年前，党中央高瞻远瞩，果断做出了和平解放西藏的重大决策。西藏的和平解放是中国现代史上的一件大事，是西藏发展史上一个具有划时代意义的转折点。它标志着西藏永远摆脱了帝国主义侵略的羁绊，标志着中华民族大团结和祖国统一进入新的发展阶段，开辟了西藏从黑暗走向光明，从落后走向进步，从贫穷走向富裕，从封闭走向开放的新时代。50年在人类历史长河中不过是短暂的瞬间，但在西藏这片古老而神奇的土地上，却发生了以往任何时代都无可比拟的巨大变化，创造了旷世未有的人间奇迹。 这五十年里，西藏实现了社会制度的历史性跨越，走上了社会主义道路。随着长期压榨西藏人民的封建农奴制度的废除，昔日连做人的起码权利都没有的百万农奴翻身做了主人。今天西藏各族人民充分享有政治、经济、文化等各方面的权利，完全掌握了自己的命运。这五十年里，西藏经济建设取得长足发展，人民生活水平显著提高。经过民主改革、社会主义改造和改革开放，西藏社会生产力获得空前的解放和发展，基础设施从无到有不断发展壮大，城乡居民收入持续增长，绝大多数群众摆脱了贫困，部分群众过上了小康生活。这同旧西藏民不聊生的悲惨境况形成了鲜明的对照。这五十年里，西藏社会主义精神文明建设不断发展，社会全面进步，教育、科技、文化、卫生等各项社会事业蓬勃发展，西藏各族人民的思想道德素质和科学文化素质普遍提高，西藏优秀传统文化得到保护、继承和弘扬，并被赋予反映人民群众新生活和社会发展新要求的时代内容。这五十年里，西藏各民族团结不断加强，社会局势保持基本稳定。随着党的民族宗教政策的贯彻落实和民族区域自治制度的全面实施，平等、团结、互助的社会主义民族关系不断发展，群众的宗教信仰自由受到充分的尊重和保护。历经五十年不平凡的岁月，今天的西藏经济发展、社会进步、民族团结、局势稳定、边防巩固、人民安居乐业，呈现出一派生机勃勃、欣欣向荣的景象。回顾过去，我们无比自豪；展望未来，我们信心百倍。让我们高举邓小平理论伟大旗帜，以三个代表的重要思想为指导，同心同德，再接再厉，为建设团结、富裕、文明的社会主义新西藏，为实现中华民族的伟大复兴而努力奋斗。
第二篇，英汉口译。
Listen to the tape and interpret the following passage from English into Chinese.
Distinguished guests and my fellow citizens, we have a place, all of us, in a long story, a story we continue, but whose end we will not see. It is the story of a new world that became a friend and liberator of the old, a story of a slave-holding society that became a servant of freedom,The story of a power that went into the world to protect but not possess, to defend but not to conquer. It is our story, a story of flawed and fallible people, united across the generations by grand and enduring ideals. The grandest of these ideals is an unfolding promise that everyone belongs, that everyone deserves a chance, that no insignificant person was ever born. People are called to enact this promise in our lives and in our laws.And though our nation has sometimes halted and sometimes delayed, we must follow no other course. Through much of this last century, our faith in freedom and democracy was a rock in a raging sea. Now it is a seed upon the wind, taking root in many nations. Our democratic faith is more than the creed of our country. It is the inborn hope of our humanity, an ideal we carry but do not own, a trust we bear and pass along.And even after nearly 225 years, we have a long way yet to travel. Today, we affirm a new commitment to live out our nation's promise through civility, courage, compassion, and character. We will never forget a commitment to principle with a concern for civility. A civil society demands from each of us goodwill and respect, fair dealing and forgiveness. We must live up to the calling we share. Civility is not a tactic or a sentiment.It is the determined choice of trust over cynicism, of community over chaos. And this commitment, if we keep it, is a way to shared accomplishment. Our nation is also courageous. Our national courage has been clear in times of depression and war, when defending common dangers to find our common good. Now we must choose if the example of our fathers and mothers will inspire us or condemn us. We must show courage in a time of blessing by confronting problems instead of passing them on to future generations. Together, we will reclaim schools before ignorance and apathy claim more young lives. We will reform Social Security and Medicare, sparing our children from struggles we have the power to prevent. And we will reduce taxes to recover the momentum of our economy and reward the effort and enterprise of working people. We will confront weapons of mass destruction so that a new century is spared new horrors. Our nation remains engaged in the world by history and by choice, shaping a balance of power that favors freedom. We will meet aggression and bad faith with resolve and strength, and to all nations we will speak for the values that gave our nation birth. Our nation is compassionate. Where there is suffering, there is duty. People in need are not strangers, they are citizens. Not problems, but priorities. Government has great responsibilities for public safety and public health, for civil rights and common schools. Yet compassion is the work of a nation, not just a government. Our nation is a place where personal responsibility is valued and expected. Encouraging responsibility is not a search for scapegoats, it is a call to conscience. And though it requires sacrifice, it brings a deeper fulfillment. We find the fullness of life not only in options, but in commitments. And we find that children and community are the commitments that set us free. Our public interest depends on private character, on civic duty and family bonds, and basic fairness, on uncounted, unhonored acts of decency which give direction to our freedom. I will live and lead by these principles, to advance my convictions with civility, to pursue the public interest with courage, to speak for greater justice and compassion, to call for responsibility, and try to live it as well. In all these ways, I will bring the values of our history to the care of our times. What you do is as important as anything government does. I ask you to seek a common good beyond your comfort, to defend needed reforms against easy attacks, to serve your nation, beginning with your neighbor. I ask you to be citizens. Citizens, not spectators. Citizens, not subjects. Responsible citizens, building communities of service and a nation of character. Never tiring, never yielding, never finishing, we renew that purpose today, to make our country more just and generous, to affirm the dignity of our lives and every life. Thank you.